Welcome to the Deep Dive, your express ticket to the most compelling breakthroughs in science and research.
Today, we're plunging into a topic that casts a long shadow over millions of lives globally: diabetes.
Now, you likely know the name, but here's the stark, often overlooked reality. It's not just about blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
The vascular complications of diabetes, you know, problems with our blood vessels, are a leading cause of severe illness, disability, and even death.
And at the heart of many of these devastating issues, persistently high blood glucose levels, what we call diabetic hyperglycemia, it just has a deeply detrimental effect on how our blood vessels function.
Right. For a long time, we've recognized that high blood sugar causes blood vessels to narrow, a process called vasoconstriction.
Yeah. And we also know that a highly specialized group of proteins, sort of an intricate nanocomplex tucked inside arterial muscle cells, is a key player in this narrowing.
Okay.
This complex acts like a tiny engine, basically revving up the contraction of these arterial muscle cells, ultimately squeezing blood vessels tighter and, well, driving up blood pressure.
But here's the puzzle. While we knew about the engine, the initial spark, the critical upstream mechanisms that tell this engine to start working overtime during hyperglycemia, those have remained a bit of a scientific mystery.
They have. We knew it was happening downstream, but not exactly how it started.
And that, dear listener, is precisely our mission today. We're embarking on a fascinating deep dive into groundbreaking new research from Hong and colleagues, just published in Circulation Research.
Hot off the presses, indeed.
This study zeroes in on a previously underappreciated character in this intricate cellular drama, a protein channel called PANX1, or PANX1.
Yeah, PANX1. It's a bit of a dark horse, maybe an unexpected hero, if you will, in this story.
So you're about to learn how PANX1 acts as a pivotal control point, kind of molecular linchpin connecting those high glucose levels directly to the dangerous constriction of our arteries.
And unlocking this precise link could be an absolute game changer. It might open up entirely new avenues for developing treatments to protect hearts, kidneys, and limbs from, well, the ravages of diabetic vascular complications.
So get ready for a journey into the incredibly precise dance of molecules that dictates our health.
Okay.
So with the stage set for this molecular drama, let's pull back the curtain on the first act. How does high glucose even begin to stir things up at the cellular level?
Right. The researchers observed something really fundamental. Simply elevating the amount of glucose outside arterial muscle cells, exactly mimicking hyperglycemia, triggers a significant increase in extracellular ATP levels directly from those cells.
ATP. Now, ATP is usually known as the cell's energy currency, right? Inside the cell.
Exactly. But outside the cell, it's actually a potent signaling molecule. Think of it like a chemical alarm bell ringing outside the cell wall.
An alarm bell. Okay.
And what's truly remarkable here is that this isn't just a passive leak, like, you know, water dripping from a leaky faucet.
Ew.
No. This release of ATP is an active, precisely controlled process, primarily mediated by those very PANX1 or PANX1 channels we just mentioned.
So PANX1 is opening the gate for this ATP alarm bell. How did they figure that out?
Well, the researchers weren't just guessing. They saw this directly. They used a pretty fancy GravitP biosensor.
GravitP!
Yeah, it literally glows brighter when ATP is present outside the cell. It's like having a tiny fluorescent camera watching the alarm bells ring in real time.
Wow!
Then, to really prove PANX1 was the culprit, they used a specific PANX1 inhibitor, spironolactone.
Spironolactone. Isn't that a blood pressure drug?
It is, but here it acts like a molecular key, basically locking PANX1 shut. And when they genetically knocked out PANX1 specifically in smooth muscle cells, boom, that hyperglycemia-induced ATP increase virtually disappeared.
Okay, that's compelling. It really points the finger at PANX1 as the critical gatekeeper for this ATP release.
Absolutely.
That's incredibly precise. So PANX1 opens the gate, ATP floods out. But is it just any sugar that triggers this, or is this process more discerning?
That's a great question, because what they found next makes it even more specific. This ATP release is metabolically controlled.
Metabolically controlled, meaning? Yeah.
Meaning it's not just about the presence of glucose, but the cell's ability to metabolize that glucose.
Ah, okay.
If they inhibited key processes of glucose metabolism, like glycolysis or oxidative phosphorylation, that ATP release was dramatically attenuated, meaning much weaker.
So the cell has to actually process the sugar, not just sense it floating around outside.
That's the crucial distinction, yeah. It tells us that PANX1 isn't just responding to, say, osmotic pressure from extra sugar.
Right.
Instead, it seems to be responding to the products of glucose metabolism, or maybe a shape change directly induced by that metabolic activity.
So the cell isn't just sensing sugar, it's sensing that it's working on the sugar.
Exactly. This makes the PANCS1 channel a sort of sophisticated, metabolically linked sensor. It converts that metabolic signal into a chemical message, the ATP, in the extracellular space.
And this released ATP then acts as that local messenger, signaling to neighboring cells and maybe components within the cell itself that high glucose is present and being processed, kicking off a cascade of events.
Precisely. It's the first domino.
Okay, here's where the story gets really fascinating, because PANCS1 isn't just releasing ATP and then, you know, walking away.
Right. It's not a lone wolf.
It turns out it's intimately connected to that existing crucial vasoconstriction machinery we mentioned earlier, that protein nanocomplex.
Yes, the study made a groundbreaking discovery here. PANCS1 is found in a very close association, what they've termed a dynamic complex, with the P2Y11LAC5PPOP5PKCHK1.2 axis within these arterial muscle cells.
Whoa, okay, that's a mouthful. PDY, let's just call it the vasoconstriction complex.
Fair enough. Think of this crucial protein complex as a pre-existing orchestra of molecular instruments that already knows how to make arteries constrict.
Right.
What this research reveals is that PANCS1 isn't just a new instrument added to the stage. It's physically joining the orchestra, becoming an integral part of its performance.
And they could actually see this, see them together.
They literally saw these associations using really cutting-edge techniques like super-resolution nanoscopy and something called proximity ligation assay. Or PLA.
Okay, PLA, what does that do?
Imagine being able to zoom in so tightly that you can see individual molecules practically holding hands within the cell. PLA detects proteins within about 40 nanometers of each other.
Wow, that close.
Yeah, so these techniques offered incredible precision. They confirmed that PANCS1 was indeed physically linking up with its existing protein complex, not just vaguely in the same neighborhood.
It sounds like PANCS1 is quite the busybody connecting all these dots. But is this connection fixed, like a rigid structure, or does it change?
That's a great question. And a really key insight from this study is that this complex isn't static at all. It's dynamic.
Dynamic how?
Hyperglycemia actually strengthens these protein interactions. It's like a molecular embrace getting tighter under the stress of high sugar.
So high sugar makes them cling together more tightly.
Exactly. And this isn't just passive assembly. It's a dynamic rearrangement that is crucial for amplifying the cell's response.
Amplifying it? How?
Well, the researchers discovered that this strengthening requires both PANCS1 and another protein called AKAP5, which acts as a kind of molecular anchor. Furthermore, PANCS1 itself showed an increased cluster density at the cell surface during hyperglycemia. Imagine PANCS1 molecules crowding together more closely.
Right.
This enhanced clustering of PANCS1 might then act as a nucleation point, sort of encouraging the clustering of the KV1.2 channels.
And KV1.2 channels are important because
they are vital gates for calcium influx. Calcium is the trigger for muscle contraction.
Got it. So more clustered KV1.2 means potentially more calcium coming in, leading to more contraction.
Precisely. So it's a sophisticated dynamic rearrangement that effectively turns up the volume on the cell's response to high glucose, transforming what might be a subtle signal into a much stronger and potentially more dangerous message.
Okay, so we've gone from high blood sugar triggering this ATP alarm bell via PANCS1 to PANCS1 physically linking up with and strengthening the cell's existing vasoconstriction machinery. That's a pretty elegant and honestly worrying chain of events.
It is.
But what does this all mean for what actually happens in our arteries and overall blood flow in, you know, a living system? Does it translate?
It absolutely translates. This molecular partnership has very real observable physiological consequences. The study definitively showed that PANCS1 is crucial for the downstream effects of hyperglycemia that lead to vessel constriction.
So without PANCS1 working properly,
the entire cascade is disrupted. It basically falls apart.
What exactly did they prevent? What were the key steps that failed to happen when PANCS1 was blocked?
Okay, well, blocking PANCS1, either with that drug spironolactone or by genetically knocking it out, it prevented several key hyperglycemia-induced increases. First, it stopped the surge in KMP production.
KMP, that's another messenger inside the cell.
Exactly, a crucial intracellular messenger relaying signals. Then second, it prevented the potentiation of KV1.2 channel activity.
Potentiation, meaning making them work better or?
Making them more active, yeah. Essentially. Remember, KV1.2 channels are those calcium gates. Potentiation means the gates open more easily or stay open longer, letting in more calcium, which drives more contraction.
Okay, more calcium, more contraction. Makes sense.
And ultimately, blocking PANCS1 prevented the sustained vasoconstriction, that dangerous narrowing of arteries that hyperglycemia typically causes.
And they saw this not just in cells, but in actual blood vessels.
Yes, and even in living animals. Blocking PANCS1 reversed the changes in cerebral artery myogenic tone. That's the inherent contracting ability of brain arteries, and it actually improved blood flow.
Okay, wait, myogenic tone, explain that a bit. It's like the vessel's own reflex.
Exactly. Imagine your blood vessels have their own built-in reflex to constrict a bit when blood pressure inside them rises. It's a fundamental way our body regulates blood flow locally.
And in diabetes, this reflex goes into overdrive, makes vessels too tight.
Precisely. That's a common problem. And what this study suggests is that PANCS1 is basically putting the foot on the gas for this overdrive during hyperglycemia.
Wow. Okay. And this raises an absolutely critical question then. Does this mechanism hold true in actual chronic diabetes, not just a quick hit of high sugar in an experiment?
That's the million-dollar question, right? And to address this, the researchers ingeniously looked at a mouse model of type 1 diabetes induced by a chemical called streptozotocin.
Okay, so proper diabetic mice. And what did they reveal about PANCS1?
Well, in the diabetic mice, PANCS1 expression was significantly elevated in their arterial cells.
More PANCS1 around.
Yeah, both in terms of increased clustering at the cell surface, like we talked about, and just more the protein overall. So this isn't just a fleeting response. It seems to be a sustained change in diabetes.
And crucially.
Crucially, that enhanced Kv1.2 activity and the increased myogenic tone, that pressure-induced overconstriction we discussed, which are hallmarks of diabetic vascular problems,
yeah,
were prevented in diabetic mice where PANCS1 was genetically knocked out.
That's huge. So removing PANCS1 protected the diabetic mice from some key vascular issues.
It really seems that way. This is a powerful finding because it moves beyond a test tube or a short experiment and into a living model of the chronic disease.
So these findings aren't confined to a petri dish. They directly impact how blood flows through vessels during diabetic conditions.
Yeah.
And you mentioned they used sophisticated methods.
Oh, absolutely. They use techniques like ex vivo pressure myography. That's where they take an actual blood vessel out of the animal and study how it responds to pressure changes and drugs in a controlled environment.
Yeah.
And they also used in vivo laser speckle imaging. This lets them literally visualize and measure blood flow changes in the living animal in real time.
Incredible. Those powerful techniques add huge physiological relevance, right? Providing a concrete link between this specific molecule, PANCS1, and a whole body physiological problem like poor blood flow and diabetes.
Exactly right. These detailed methodologies lend significant weight to the findings. It's not just a theory. It's observable, quantifiable fact in a complex biological system. It paints a much clearer picture of how high glucose physically impacts our circulatory health via this PANCS1 pathway.
Now, I can hear a skeptical question brewing in some of your minds out there. You might be thinking, are we sure this isn't just any channel letting ATP out, or maybe just a general osmotic effect of high sugar? You know, like maybe lots of sugar outside just stresses the cell in a general way.
That's a perfectly valid scientific question.
Yeah.
You always need control experiments. And the researchers tackled it head on with a really elegant setup.
How did they do that?
Well, what truly stood out here is that PANCS1 channels appear to respond selectively to metabolizable glucose.
Metabolizable, meaning glucose the cell can actually use for energy.
Precisely. They performed osmolarity control experiments using non-metabolizable L-glucose.
Oh, glucose.
Yeah, you see, D-glucose is the form our body uses for energy. L-glucose is like its mirror image. It has the same size, same osmotic properties. It exerts the same physical pressure, but our cells generally can't metabolize it.
Okay, so it causes the same osmotic stress but isn't used for fuel?
Right. And they found that while L-glucose could trigger some ATP release via other non-specific pathways, showing that general osmotic changes can have some effect, the PANCS1-mediated ATP release, the specific release they were studying, was selectively activated only by metabolizable D-glucose.
Only the D-glucose turned on the PANCS1 pathway.
Correct. And to clinch it, spironolactone, the PANCS1 inhibitor, it specifically blocked the ATP release caused by D-glucose, but had no effect on the smaller ATP release caused by L-glucose.
Wow. So it's like PANCS1 is a highly sophisticated, metabolically controlled gateway. It only opens for the right kind of glucose, the kind the cell is actually processing.
That's exactly what it looks like. Not just any sugar, but processed sugar is the key.
What does that specificity tell us about the body's warning system and maybe the potential for targeted therapies down the line?
Well, it reveals the remarkable intelligence and specificity of the body's glucose sensing machinery. PANCS1 isn't just some generic pour leaking stuff out.
Right.
It appears to be directly coupled to the cell's metabolic state, making it a true sensor. This metabolic coupling is absolutely essential for PANCS1's functional integration with that whole vasoconstriction complex we talked about.
And the precision matters
The
because.
precision means that if we can target PANCS1 specifically, we might be able to interrupt the pathological response to high glucose without broadly affecting lots of other normal cellular processes.
So it could be a very targeted approach.
Exactly. It suggests PANCS1 is a finely tuned control point rather than a blunt instrument, which is exactly what you want when you're thinking about designing new drugs with fewer side effects.
Precisely. This level of specificity in the molecular mechanisms is absolutely key to understanding how diseases like diabetes manifest at a cellular level, and maybe even more importantly, how we might design incredibly precise interventions to prevent or perhaps even reverse the damage.
Doesn't agree more.
So let's try and tie it all together, bringing this deep dive into the research by Hong et al. Home for you. This study gives us a much clearer and I think more actionable picture of diabetes' devastating vascular complications. It highlights a central, previously unappreciated, and really dynamic role for this channel, PANCS1.
Right. We learned that PANCS1 facilitates that crucial ATP release in arterial muscle cells, specifically in response to hyperglycemia. And critically, this isn't just a sugar effect. It requires actual glucose metabolism by the cell.
And PANCS1 then steps further into the spotlight. It forms that dynamic physical complex with the key proteins responsible for vasoconstriction. It joins the orchestra, as you said.
And its activity is absolutely necessary for the resulting cascade. The increased CNMP production inside the cell, the potentiation or enhancement of those Kv1.2 calcium channels,
Letting more calcium in.
leading ultimately to the dangerous increase in vascular reactivity, that overconstriction and the reduced blood flow we unfortunately see so often in diabetes.
So the big picture here is really a paradigm shift, wouldn't you say?
I think so. We're now seeing smooth muscle PANCS1 not as some peripheral player, but as a central orchestrator, profoundly influencing vascular function during diabetic hyperglycemia.
It meticulously connects that initial molecular spark of glucose metabolism to the dangerous physiological impact on our blood vessels.
Offering a direct link between cause and effect at a molecular level.
Yeah.
It's quite elegant in a damaging sort of way.
So, what does this all mean for the future? I mean, the implications seem
They
huge.
really do. This new, detailed understanding points to PANCS1 as a truly promising new therapeutic target.
Imagine a future where managing diabetes isn't just about controlling blood sugar levels, but also about precisely dialing down the specific molecular switch, PANCS1, to protect your heart, your brain, your kidneys, your limbs from vascular damage.
We're talking about potentially preventing heart attacks, strokes, kidney failure, maybe even amputations for millions of people.
That would be incredible.
Indeed, this opens up entirely new avenues. Instead of just managing symptoms after the damage is done, we might be able to interrupt the disease process at a much more fundamental molecular level.
And it raises an important question, too, doesn't it?
Which is?
Well, if PANCS1 is a key switch for vascular complications and diabetes, what other hidden, perhaps metabolically controlled molecular switches might we uncover next in other common diseases? Maybe even diseases with seemingly unrelated symptoms.
That's a fantastic point. The body's intricate signaling networks are constantly surprising us. Who knows what other connections between metabolism and disease pathways are waiting to be discovered?
It's a provocative thought, isn't it? It encourages us all to consider the incredibly intricate connections between our metabolism and our vascular health, and well, just the relentless progress in scientific discovery that keeps pushing the boundaries of what's possible in medicine.
Yeah, this research really reminds us that there's always more to learn about the elegant, sometimes frustratingly complex machinery of our own bodies.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you've gained some valuable insights into the exciting frontiers of diabetes research and what it could mean for the future of health.